him who is without power? How have you saved the arm that has no strength? How have you counseled one who has no wisdom? And how have you declared sound advice to many? To whom have you uttered words, and whose spirit came from you? The dead tremble, those under the waters and those inhabiting them. Sheol is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. He binds up the water in his thick clouds, yet the clouds are not broken under it. He covers the face of his throne and spreads his cloud over it. He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters and the boundary of light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. He stirs up the sea with his power, and by his understanding he breaks up the storm. By his spirit he adorned the heavens. His hand pierced the fleeing serpent. Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways. How small a whisper we hear of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? So far in the reading of the word of the living God. Let's go before the throne of grace once again. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we have worshipped in song and giving and prayer. And we would now worship by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For faith comes by that word. And so we pray, Father, for the one who speaks. We've not come to be entertained, but we would see Jesus. And you have ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, the power of God to those who believe would come. So bless now the speaker and hearer for the sake of your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Primarily focusing this morning on verse 14, and in the King James Version, the word indeed, you would find the word lo. That is the King James old time way of saying, hey, trying to get your attention. Pay attention now to what I'm about to say. This text demands your attention indeed. The lofty declaration of divine power is worthy of your notice. Thunder tends to get your attention. You know, a huge explosion gets your attention. Divine power is one of these things that ought to get your attention. But there is an infinite, eternal, unchangeable power in God's being, as well as all his works. Words like great, immensity, magnitude manifested in magnificent miracles. Astonishing. You could just try to come up with those words. Who can understand? Who has the capacity, the ability, the facility to think and know and understand divine power? The greatest mind, the smartest person, at the top of their expert knowledge, wouldn't fully explain it all. When I have said all that I could say about divine power, when you will have thought about and meditated on all that you can think about divine power, there's more. There's more. Infinitely more power in the nature of God than there is expressed in the world or known in the mind of men. Incomprehensible. You can't understand it. More power than even the thunder of his power shows you. Thunder's an amazing thing. It's kind of amazing when you experience it up here above the Mason-Dixon line, but one of the things, 12 years in the South, one of the amazing memories was how often in the warm weather the day would build to a thunder. And thunder and lightning in ways that I'd never seen before. This is the idea behind this thunder. Genesis 17:1, I am Almighty God. He alone has the power. God alone has the power to do everything that he wills to do. Maybe you've heard the philosophical question. Can God make a rock so big that he cannot move it? If you say yes, then you're saying that's something God can't do. And if you say no, God can't make a rock so big that he can move it, you're saying that there's something God can't make. In fact, either way that you answer the question puts a limit on God. And the question is usually asked by somebody who's trying to prove that there is no God. Well, it's a phony question to begin with. It's a bogus question to begin with. Because the Bible says that there are several things that God cannot do. You remember, God cannot sin. God cannot lie. God cannot change. God cannot die. In other words, brothers and sisters, God cannot be eternal and created. That is, God cannot be God and not be God at the same time. As for that big rock, the answer is no. God cannot make a rock so big that he cannot move it, because if he did, God would be making something he had no power over. And if God has no power over anything, any one thing, that means he would be destroying his own all-powerfulness. God cannot stop being God. Why is this an important subject for us to think about? God cannot be... Double negatives. Thank you. He cannot not be omnipotent. There's no way for God to be anything but all-powerful. That should be very comforting to us in a day like today. How much do you have power over? You have so little power over so many things. And everything around us seems to have more power. But brothers and sisters, everything that God wills to do, he can do. So we want to think from verse 14 this morning. What is the power of God? Why is the power of God? Where is the power of God? And then the so what? Famous question that Jay Adams in his teaching on homiletics always put in there. Make sure you have a so what. What's the point of even thinking this? What is the power of God? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to try to deal with in the next 25 minutes a topic that takes up hundreds of pages in systematic theologies and commentaries. So we should settle every question. Power can mean authority, that is, master, ruler, with unrestricted, absolute power. Why does God have that? Because He's the creator of all things. In other words, God is not accountable to anyone. He answers to no one. We may not know why God does what He does, but it ought to be enough for us that God is, and God is sovereign. Just because He is the one who has this power. Nebuchadnezzar, you remember, first God chastised him for saying, "Look at everything I have done." And when he came to his senses in Daniel chapter 4, verse 35, Nebuchadnezzar says, "God does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. No one can restrain His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?'" God can do what He wants because everything belongs to Him. He is the potter. We are the clay, Romans 9. That whole passage is talking about the power of God. So power, yes, means authority. But power also means ability. What if you have the authority to do whatever you want to do, but not the ability, not the strength? The strength of God to do everything He wants to do, the way He wants to do it, is because He is all-powerful. Remember, the Bible says God is able to raise up from these stones children to Abraham. Why? Because He formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. Whatever God wants to do, He can do. Whatever God plans to do, He will do. Because all things are possible with God. All things. God has the ability to do everything and anything in keeping with His perfect will and holiness. Brothers and sisters, God cannot make a square circle or any of these other philosophical questions about His abilities. In other words, you understand that yes and no are always opposites? Always. They're never the same reality. What could God do that He doesn't do? Matthew 26, verse 53. Remember, Jesus said, "My Father could send 12 legions of angels, but He doesn't." Jesus said He could. I could have 12 legions, 12,000 angels. God could send them. God has the ability and the authority to send the angels, but He doesn't send them. Why? Because God decreed that Jesus is going to suffer and die on the cross. That's God's will. That's going to happen. That's the power of God. The power of God is wisdom. Ephesians 1 verse 11. The purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. God's will is always wise. We may not be able to discern it or fully understand it. But God is never surprised by what we do or don't do, can do or can't do. His will gets done. God's power puts all other attributes that He has into action. What good is the mercy of God if He doesn't have the power to show mercy? But He does. What good is the justice of God without the power to punish? And yet there's all kinds of people who want to talk about the fact that there's no hell. They say things like, my God would never send anyone to hell. That's a diminishing of God. Because God's justice is perfect. There is a hell. What hope in God's promise would you have if he has no power to do it? I could promise you $1 million. Well, I don't have $1 million. There are certain people in the world who, if they promised you $1 million, you'd at least have more hope of getting it. But there isn't anything that God promises that he can't fulfill. God's power is the life of all his other attributes. And so he has the power to remove your misery because of sin. He has the power to do that. Infinite power to restore the rewards of glory that the Bible says you can't even imagine. You may think that the greatest blessing you could ever get in this world is to what? Get a house and finish a college and raise your children. And all of those are wonderful things. But the greatest accomplishment that you have in this world cannot be compared to what God has already promised you. And he has the power. He also has the power to inflict eternal penalties. The world doesn't want to talk about this. That hell is real. And wrath is real. But God has this unlimited power. And by the way, God can do infinitely more than he has already done. There is a limit to what you can do. We all know that. But there is no limit for God. What is the exceeding greatness of his power? Ephesians 1:19. He is able to do above all that we ask or think. Why? Well, he's the God who can make stuff out of nothing. You can't do that. When God speaks a word, nothing becomes something. No one can stay his hand. That's the power of God. Why? Why does God have this power? Brothers and sisters, the power of the Maker must be more than the power of the thing made, or he's not God. Our world likes to think that man is the measure of all things, that all things begin and end in man. But God has made all life forms known in this world. It must be a very immense power to make such variety. What does the world want to do with that variety? It wants to tell us we all came from ooze, and we oozed out of ooze, and we're oozing back into ooze, and that's all we have. Everything came from one cell. That's what the world wants you to believe. And it's foolish. If we could understand the power that can make the infinite variety that's out there. I have a friend from Tennessee, from our church in Tennessee. They now live in Virginia. She's on a bent of posting on Facebook different pictures of birds from all over the world. Sometimes she posts a picture of a bird and I have to ask her, is this real? There's really a bird that looks like this? In this world? Yes, there is. Why? Because God has made all of this infinite variety. If we could understand that power completely, then God would not be God. Without an all-powerful God, there is no God. If your God is less than all-powerful, he's not God. God's infinite power is what makes God the only God. That's what the world doesn't like. That we have the theological temerity to say our God is the only God. But brothers and sisters, don't you think that only the creator of lions could stop the mouths of lions? Daniel 6. Don't you think that the only giver of life is the only one who can raise the dead? Lazarus, for example. Don't you think that the one who made fire can keep fire from burning the clothes of three men thrown into fire, etc., etc., etc.? Well, where can we see this power of God? Well, again, pages and pages and pages of writing about where you can see it. But ultimately, it comes down to this. Creation, government, and redemption are three of the places that you can clearly see the power of God. In our doxology, one of them is found in 1 Corinthians 29, verse 11. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Brothers and sisters, in the creation, in the fact that God spoke, nothing became everything. There's where you can see the power of God. You know what the theory of evolution demands? It demands a leap of faith much bigger than creation. I like to put it this way. I don't know where I got this, but it's sort of become mine. It's unbelievable what unbelievers have to believe to be unbelievers. You believe that there was everything. The unbeliever believes that everything has always been there. Where did it come from? The rational mind knows. You don't get something from nothing. Zero plus zero is still what? I don't care what the new math says. It's still zero. The variety of creatures, the intricate difference, amazing number, remarkable individuality can only be ascribed to a creator. Only. Mark, this car has gone around the church about six times and is parked right out here. I don't know. It just seems very weird. Jason, thank you. I'm sorry. When you see that happen six times on a Sunday morning and now the person's not in the car. Where is the power of God? Secondly, it's in government. And by this we mean order and provision. God made the earth grow things, creatures that we eat, rain that waters the world, He set boundaries for the ocean. We read that this morning in our texts. He gave man a job to do. Every creature that God has made is dependent on the rest of creation. The sun and the moon govern day and night. Earth is exactly how far and how close to the sun that it needs to be to sustain life. You know, you saw this week, they landed a camera on Mars. Guess what they found? Nothing! Why? It's too far away from the sun. It's dust. I think it would be very cool if a little Martian came up and looked in the camera. That's science fiction. That doesn't happen. But the Earth, what an amazing thing. Mankind has dominion over the animals. Why? Because we were made in the image of God. There are no dolphin colleges. There are no gorilla cities. There are no chimpanzee schools. You know, you ever heard people say, the difference between our DNA and the chimpanzee DNA is 0.01%. That's all the difference. That's what makes us different. And the fact that our government is superseded is an amazing thing. And then finally, redemption. The power of God is seen in redemption. The Savior is called in the Bible the wisdom of God. He's also called in 1 Corinthians 1:24 the power of God. You realize that Jesus Christ, we talk about him as the spotless, sinless, holy, miracle worker. What does he do? He sacrifices his life in the place of sinners. He rises again from the dead on the third day. He has the power to change lives. And how does he typically do it? By the gospel that's preached through cracked pots, jars of clay, flawed servants. He has the power to do that in a world that hates the gospel. In the amazing grace that forgives sinners, that protects saints, that feeds our faith, that builds his church. How do young men make professions of faith? I didn't go out looking for Bobby. Sarah dragged him in. And yet the Lord adds to his church, not only through little Macintosh, but through professions of faith. Isn't it amazing in a day when everybody's separated, when the pandemic's got us restricted, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? The Lord is still saving sinners. So what? Again, you can read some amazing things written on the power of God. Charnock's whole section on the power of God is remarkable. But if the infinite authority and ability belong to God, if God is omnipotent, and the Bible says that Jesus Christ is God, if the power of God is ascribed to him, and it is. And why is it? Because Jesus did things that only God can do. We were talking about it in Sunday school. He walks on the water. Not only walks on the water, but calms the storm. And his disciples said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Same is true for the Holy Spirit. All three of the persons of God do things that only God could do. Brothers and sisters, that should be a big encouragement to you, because you are ungodly. And if you don't have faith, you have reason to fear this God. Because an almighty God is against you. They used to use the language. Have you gotten right with God? It's an important question. You cannot win against God on your own. There is no place for you to hide from God's wrath and justice. No way for you to escape His power. And so Hebrews 13:31 says, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. May I say to you this morning, if you are an unbeliever, if you stay as you are, unbelieving and dead in sin, Isaiah 13:6 says there is only one thing for you to do. This is not popular. This is what the prophet says. Howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. There is an Almighty God. You have to do with Him. And what is the answer? The whole gospel is what? Repent and believe. Brothers and sisters, those of you that are children of God by faith, let the power of God encourage your faith. Are you a bit discouraged? Are you honest enough to say, yeah, I'm discouraged by my physical condition. I'm discouraged by the economic condition. I'm discouraged by politicians who say one thing and then do the other. And if apparently only Neil and I are the only two people that are discouraged. I know better. I know you're discouraged. But brothers and sisters, this is the power of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? Not the pandemic, not Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, none of it. God is able to meet every need you have. And I stand before you as a pastor in Stonewall Jackson's famous comment. Somebody asked him, General Jackson, how can you stand on the battlefield so calmly? Jackson basically said, look, I'm not going to die 1 minute before God wants me to die. And I'm not going to live 1 minute longer than God wants me to live. So I'm going to do what He called me to do. And that should be true of all of us. Get on with your life today, tomorrow. When God's done with you, He'll be done with you. Until then, you're immortal. That doesn't mean be foolish. But the one who creates light out of nothing is able to provide for you. Even if you can't see how. God is able to give you exactly what you need, when you need it. Why? Because He's all powerful. Let the power of God strengthen you. Take shelter in Him by faith. And stop your worry and your fear. Learn to sing Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High abides in the shadow of the Almighty. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, our Creator, Sustainer, Giver of all good gifts, we thank you for your power, which is just a thunder, something we can experience but not fully understand. We thank you, O God, that you have put on display in all that you have made, in all that you have said, and ultimately in the person and work of Jesus, your almighty power. May we rest in it for the sake of Jesus Christ. Hear us for his sake. Amen.